Public radio listeners like yourself probably recognize the voice of our next guest.
This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. The stock market crash of...
Tess Vigeland was a host for Marketplace and its personal finance sister show, Marketplace Money. And at least in the world of public media, she was something of a star. People would recognize her voice in elevators. Perfect strangers would tell her she had the coolest job in the world. But after 11 years, she quit without another job lined up, without even much of a plan. And she writes about it in her new book, Leap, Leaving a Job with No Plan B to Find the Career and Life You Really Want. Tess, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
So why'd you do it?
That is the inevitable question, isn't it? I have been covering business and economics for more than a decade, and I'd been doing a personal finance show for a good long piece of that. And honestly, Peter, there was just part of me that was sick of the subject matter. You know, there are only so many times that you can say, you know, save up to the match for your 401k before you just start banging your head against a wall. And I wanted to kind of explore what else was out there. And I think that's harder to do when you are in a job versus trying to figure that out when you have a little bit more freedom.
Yeah. Let's talk about that day in 2012 when you went to your boss's office, you handed your supervisor a letter of resignation, a very, very difficult thing to do at any point, especially if you don't have a plan. What was it like just walking into that office and pulling the trigger?
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I loved Marketplace. I absolutely loved Marketplace. It was almost a job that was made for me. It was made for my personality. And so leaving it was, I mean, I felt sick. And I think there was also a little bit of fear involved at that point, but I was so overwhelmed with the need to move on that the fear didn't really hit until I actually left the building for the last time, which was another 3 months later. I gave them 3 months' notice.
You said you felt sick doing it, but you had been sick in the job in a way. You said your hair was falling out. You know, we know, anyone can relate to this. We know when something is wrong, when something doesn't feel right. Our guts tell us this. We start to fall apart physically. Why do you think it takes us so long to do what we know we need to do?
Well, as they say, denial ain't just a river in Egypt. When you're facing a decision like that, particularly one where, you know, for me, it wasn't like I hated my job, but there were all these indications that it was stressing me out. And as you said, actually, my hair didn't fall out, but it stopped growing. Like, you lose hair all the time, but it just keeps growing, and mine stopped growing. So
weird.
I had this beautiful head of blonde hair, and it just got all thin and scraggly. So your body starts screaming at you when it's time to make a change, but we ignore it because change is really, really hard.
And so you left. You didn't really have a plan in place. Interesting. We have an obsession with plans when it comes to our careers in this country, don't we?
We do. And, you know, Peter, it starts actually when we're in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, we're supposed to start deciding what we're going to do with the rest of our lives.
Right. Where are you going to go to college?
Exactly.
What kind of job are you going to have?
What's your major going to be? What are you going to study? And we start that at, you know, like 15, 16, or even earlier, like if you start to get into sports or music.
How do we do this?
You know, I think it's just part of what is ingrained in us from the time we're born, particularly in this country, that you really got to make something yourself and you got to start early. And I mean, that was me for the first 43 years of my life until I quit my job. And I tell you, now that I have not had one for the last 3 years, I see what kinds of doors it opens up, what kinds of opportunities it allows you to say yes to or to say no to.
And yet you felt so much guilt at some point because you no longer had another income in your household. You gave up prestige. People recognized your voice on the elevator. These were things that even if you have new opportunities, once you make the leap, you still give up.
You do. And this is one thing, I would say this was my biggest personal struggle over the last 3 years, was that I identified myself so much with what I did for a living. I really identified myself as, Marketplace is Tess Vigeland. And what I had to figure out when I left was, who am I outside of what I do for a living?
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Tess Vigeland, former host of Marketplace Money. She quit her job without a plan B, didn't know what she was going to do next. In 2012, she's written a new book about the experience called Leap. And Tess, for this book, I think you realized, or maybe you realized before, that you weren't the first person in the world who'd done this before. You spoke to a lot of other people. What did they teach you?
What they taught me was that there is a process to this. First of all, the experience of immediately after you quit, like your last day on the job, there is so much euphoria. You just feel like you've done something super brave. You're so excited because, you know, all these doors and windows are open to you now and you have freedom. But then very quickly, reality sets in. And, you know, you start to think about the financials and you start to think about, well, what does this mean for my career? And then it's a roller coaster for what can be a significant amount of time. You know, you have times where perhaps you have a great piece of contract work and it's going really well. But then the next week, you don't have a project. And all of a sudden, you feel worthless and you feel lazy and you feel like, oh, my gosh, what have I done? But it's in those times when you start to think about how else you can be valuable, how you can take your skills and use them in some other way that maybe you haven't done before.
So this can be very hard. And you give us almost a cautionary tale through someone that you spoke to named David Sobel, who wrote a piece in Salon. It was called I Never Should Have Followed My Dreams. He quit his job. He floundered for years. He had to take money from his parents. He couldn't pay for his health insurance, had to raid his 401k. It did not go well for him.
It didn't. And, you know, I think that he fell victim to what I think is a very dangerous idea that is promulgated by a lot of self-help books, quite frankly, that, you know, follow your passion and the riches will come. It is not that easy. It's a much, much longer and tougher process than I think what we're led to believe by a lot of the folks who just say, oh, you know, just go out and do it.
Was it that he wasn't prepared for how hard it was going to be?
I think he wasn't prepared for how hard it was going to be, and he clearly had not prepared financially. Now, when I talk about leaving a job with no plan B, what I'm talking about is not knowing what you want to do next with your life. I am not talking about leaving with no safety net.
And you did have a safety net. You had a husband who had a good salary, and not everybody who wants to leave their job is in that situation. What do you say to them?
Right. I was very fortunate. We did do back of the napkin math and figured out that at the very least on his income, we could keep the roof over our head. And I was pretty confident that I had skills that I would be able to use in some way, shape, or form to generate an income. But for those, you know, as you note, who do not have that kind of backup, it's hard. You know, if you're a family of four living on a median household income in this country of, what, $52,000, $53,000 a year? If you called into my old show, I would tell you absolutely don't do this. Now, that said, there are two ways to help make this happen for yourself. One is you either cut back on your spending, or two, you get more income. And I know that sounds tough, but the fact is you need to really take a look at what can you cut out of your life? Can you downsize your home? Can you get a cheaper car? Can you take a weekend job for, say, a year and try to save up so that you have what we like to call a freedom fund? And this is the freedom to walk away from your job if you feel it's absolutely necessary.
Tess, as I was reading this book, I can relate to a lot of it, especially as someone who makes a living behind a microphone like you used to. But sometimes I wonder, as I have angst about my own career or my own ambition, like, is this just a problem for white-collar workers, those who have letters after their last names? Like, is there lessons to be learned here for someone who makes a living as a waitress or for the person who picks up the trash off the curb or somebody else who may not be in the same position as you were?
Well, I spoke to quite a few people in the book who were not as privileged as I was and who did not have the kind of economic circumstances that made it wise for them to take a leap, including a family of four where basically they decided, the primary breadwinner in the family decided, look, I would rather, worst case scenario, have to go live with my parents again with my wife and my two kids. I would rather that than for my children to see me miserable every single day because I'm in a job that isn't working for me. Yes, it's very difficult to imagine doing this as a blue-collar worker if you're on minimum wage. But again, that's where I say just start with the very smallest steps that you possibly can to start saving a little bit at a time. And it may take you a while. It may take you longer than what you want it to do. But you'll start to get a confidence that you have a backup, that you have a way to support yourself if you are in a situation that is unhealthy for you, that is, you know, ruining your happiness. Trying to think about what that next step might be and getting yourself to it, at the very least, start thinking about it and start setting out, you know, some sort of idea of how you might make that happen.
Tess Vigeland's new book is Leaving a Job with No Plan B to Find the Career and Life You Really Want. Tess, thanks.
Thank you.